You've never heard of them. You won't see them bronzed up on a Sunset Strip billboard or chasing 20-something models on Love Island. When they get free drink tickets on an airplane, you bet your ass they fucking use them. It's Two Guys, One Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Ron Alleman and Brian Harris.
Ron RuPaul Alleman. Ron RuPaul Alleman.
What's going on, brother?
What's up, Home Slice? I'm like, the listening audience can't see, but you're festive today, man. You got the Santa Claus hat on. You've got the scarf. You must have found that thing. You're looking like you're in your holiday cheer today, man.
Dude, this is all for you. I know no one can see. You can see me, but no one else can see me. I did. I found my scarf. It, you know, I think if you remember, I said maybe it got thrown out and somebody's going to get a new one, but it looks like it was just put into the wrong spot. It was with all the hats, so I found it way in the back of the closet. Got the Santa hat on. Yeah, dude, we're here. We are in the middle of it all. This is, I told you a long time ago, this is party season, right?
Would you ever go next level and actually dress up as old Saint Nick for the benefit of Eddie or Aiden? Have you ever thought about putting on the full gear and like come down the chimney, shit like that?
Well, you know what we did one year? I'm going to tell you right now, no, I haven't thought about doing that. I mean, are you saying that I kind of resemble Santa Claus? That I should start dressing more like him?
Well, you resemble him in that you're good-spirited, jovial kind of guy. I think there is, you don't have the beard and you certainly don't have the physique.
Right.
I mean, listen, old right. Saint Nick isn't the chiseled god that you are, but you do have the personality for it, I guess.
Thanks, man. That's a huge compliment. No, you know what? So remember how last week I told you that when Aiden was small, that we used to celebrate his half birthday in the summertime, right?
Yes.
So one year, because Aiden basically is like a Christmas baby. We brought him home from the hospital on Christmas Day, almost 12 years ago now. But for one of the summers, we got a Santa Claus to show up at his birthday party, Hawaiian t-shirt, beard, Santa Claus hat. And also he had a few drinks in him before he had gotten there. So it was incredible. We had
Santa,
Christmas,
Santa hat
Christmas in July. Santa hat. Aiden was little back then. I don't think he had started drinking until he was around 6. So this was, he was still about 4, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, man. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a 'tis the season. Well, listen, man, before we get into our football discussion here, have you checked off all the holiday shopping items yet? Are you still making your way through?
Ooh,
that?
Still making the way.
Same thing as last year?
Your gift? No, listen, you got something coming. You know, it's in the mail, as they say. It's something nice, something engraved. I think you're going to remember it for always. But
oh, really? You
no, I mean, I think it's in the process of being shipped. It's, you know how you have shipping and handling?
Yeah.
They're started the handling.
they're in the handling process.
Yeah. They're in the preemptive handling part of it. When they get halfway through, I'll get an alert, and then after the handling comes the shipping. You can't have the shipping without the handling.
They go together like peanut butter and jelly.
And that handling, that's where the real price is. The shipping's nothing. So, you know, Amazon ships for free. It's that handling.
The handling. Yeah, that's the key part of the equation.
Well, that's the surcharge.
You let me know because I'll be checking the mailbox every day, obviously, for that.
And just stand out there. Yeah. Just go out there and wait for it. If it doesn't come, just keep on waiting. It's almost there, I promise.
So starting today, you want me to go ahead and go out there?
When we hang up, when we get off this podcast later, just go stand by the mailbox and just wait. I mean, it's just honestly, it really should be there anytime.
All right, it's a little cold out. I'm sure that's advisable?
It's fine.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
I'll let you know when it comes. I'm looking forward to it, man. And likewise, man, you should do the same.
I do. Same as I do every year, waiting for your shit to come. It's always fun. It's always great.
So listen, man, switching gears here, talking about football, before we get into our Monday night football.
The Frozen Tundra. Of Cleveland, Ohio.
The Cleveland Browns. I wanted to bring something up that I'd like to get your take on, okay? And it has to do with whether or not, as sort of a sports guy code, can you be a fan of more than one team? And I'm pointing this directly at a friend of ours. I'm not going to mention his name specifically, but I'll say his first name rhymes with Thad. Okay, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And this particular individual carries the torch for many different teams. And I'm not talking about just one or two. I think he's got maybe four NFL teams that he roots for. And I just want to know you, if you, Ron Alleman, take particular issue with that. Are you on board with having more than one team in your fandom or not? And I'll give you my opinion, but I'd like to hear yours first, please.
Well, first, let me say, I think I know who you're talking about when you say Thad. Let's just call him Thad from now on, okay?
Yeah.
So here's my take. It doesn't matter who you root for today. It doesn't matter if you were born in New York and your favorite team, you know, are the Rams, or it doesn't matter, okay? But the fact is, I think you got to back one team per sport. My team is the Chicago Bears. I was born here in Northwest Indiana. Now, when I was born, we didn't have the Colts were not in Indy. They were still in Baltimore. So even though we live a lot closer to Chicago than we do Indy, so I think the Bears were just like the natural option for us and for all my friends. So I'm a Bears fan, always have been, don't plan on changing. But I'll tell you what, I also am a big fan of Drew Brees, and that's because, you know, he's from Purdue. You and I are Purdue guys. I'll go ahead and say Thad's a Purdue guy as well. So Brees is my favorite quarterback. But so if the Bears get knocked out for whatever reason, which is, you know, it's pretty – it happens on occasion from time to time that they don't make the playoffs. I will go ahead and I'll pull for the Saints at that point. And I also root for anyone who's playing the Packers. But aside from that, no. You have to have one team. You got to stick with it. I fucking hate people that when the team wins the championship, all of a sudden, there they go. They jump on the bandwagon. They're friend. They're, you know, they're fans of that team. So many Chiefs fans nowadays, right?
Yeah, right.
So many Patriots fans. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
Pick your team and go with it. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. And there's a lot to unpack there of what you just said, though. So let's start with the backing of a particular player, which I agree. I'm a huge Drew Brees fan, always will be. I root for Drew as an individual, but as a hypothetical, if the Saints were playing the Cowboys, I would absolutely want the Cowboys to win. In parallel path, I'd like Drew to have a good game, right?
100%.
But ultimately, 100%. I'm a Cowboys fan, and that's that. Now, in terms of the example you put forward, once your team is officially eliminated, can you root casually for another team? In other words, you would like some other team to win since your team isn't going to, besides a different team? I think that's acceptable, you know, right, once your team's out of the mix. But what I come back to on this, and Thad isn't alone in this, right? There's a lot of people that carry a torch for more than one team. I pose the following question to you. Can you root for, going back to the World Wars, can you root for the Axis and the Allied armies to win?
No.
Why is that?
Well, maybe you can.
No, I don't think you can, Ron. Can you pull for the Capulets and the Montagues? Can you?
No, hell no.
No. And the ultimate.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe you can. But anyway, the point is this. Ultimately, if your team is to win, which is the ultimate prize, right? You've got to win the Super Bowl in the NFL. You've got to win the World Series in baseball. That's the only thing that matters.
Stanley Cup in hockey.
Yeah. There's only one winner.
Wimbledon
and tennis. You can go on and on. Keep going.
World Cup.
Yep. America's Cup. Boat racing.
Right. Yeah.
Sailing. The Kentucky
Riders. The Riders Cup.
Yeah. The Riders Cup. The Cornhole Championship. You know.
Ooh. Flippy Cup.
The fact of the matter is there's only one thing that matters, and that's winning it all. And by way of necessity, only one team can win, which means you have to be an enemy of every other team other than the one team that you back. You can't carry a torch for more than one team. No, that's not acceptable. It should be against man law. I'm saying right here now on Two Guys, One Podcast, that's vetoed permanently and forever. You can only back one team. If you back more than one team, I'm outing you right now as saying you're not a true sports fan. Sorry. End of story.
Yeah. I cannot argue with that. I think you have your one team and that's your team and go for it. No matter how shitty the Green Bay Packers are, if that's your team, Myers, you know, you stick with them. Keep shooting your fucking mouth off, because in a couple of weeks, we're going to close it for you, big guy. We're coming for you. Don't count the Bears out. Trubisky had the game of his life yesterday. We're coming at you.
He did, indeed. So, but let me ask you this. Here's another pivot to this, right? Can you make a mid-career change? Like, can you be a diehard Bears fan and then all of a sudden decide that you no longer back the Bears and you've defected to another team? And the answer should be considered in light of an opportunistic, you know, becoming a Chiefs fan, or maybe you move to another market and you're living in that market for the foreseeable future. Are you okay switching teams?
I'm okay, but there's got to be really specific reasons for it. Like, let's say that Gavin grows up and Gavin plays for the 49ers. Okay.
That's the obviously, plan. Go ahead.
Obviously, you're going to become a huge 49ers fan. And when Gavin's on the field versus the Cowboys, you tell me what you would do. I know what I would do, but I don't know if I could root for the Cowboys against my son.
Well, I'll tell you, in that scenario, I hate to say it, but I go back to the Drew Brees example. I'm hoping Gavin has a lights out game, and I hope the San Francisco 49ers lose in the end.
What if it was to make the playoffs, you know, win or you're out, and Gavin gets that fat bonus check, the $2 million bonus check that's going right in your bank account if Gavin wins, if the 49ers win that day? Then who are you rooting for?
Are the Cowboys already in the playoffs?
No. One team is going to make it, one's not going to make it.
You know, Gavin's making enough money as it is, man. I got to get the Cowboys to the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. You cannot buy your loyalty, and I like that.
So, to recap, though, you're okay with there's some sort of criteria you have to meet up to in order to switch teams midstream.
You know what? Yeah. I think sometimes if you're with a certain team, you look at the organization from within. Like, let's say, you know, back in the 90s, you got so fed up with the Cubs organization, the way that it was run, the management, the ownership, whatever it was. And you said, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with these guys, and I'm going to go move on. And now all of a sudden, you know, whoever, the Blue Jays are my favorite team from now on. I'm turning my back on the Cubs. Okay, fine. You know, good for you. I can understand that. You know, it's hard to lose your loyalty when you've been a fan, you know, your entire life. Some point you have to look at the organization and what are they giving back to the fans? I don't mean to get too deep here, you know, but like that's what it really amounts to. Like, are we being taken advantage of? Chicago is one of the most expensive sports markets. If you're a fan of sports, you want to go see a game. I mean, you're gonna shell it out, man. For a family of four to go to a Bears game, like, forget it. You know, you're talking about $2,500, $3,000 maybe. So, I mean, for what we're paying as fans, are we getting it back in return? And sometimes you're not. And I could see people saying, you know what, then forget about it. This is no longer my team. I can't continue to root for them and I'm gone. But then don't come back next year either when we're in the playoffs, right?
Good point. You know, and I'll say on that point, I had a really sort of moment in my Cowboys fandom where I almost turned the page, which is, it was probably, you know, Gavin was 6 or 7 years old, if I recall, and we were, as the Cowboys have been known to do, making some suspect roster changes and taking risks on players that had suspect backgrounds. And in particular, it was when we brought in Greg Hardy. You may remember that name. He was a convicted wife abuser and had literally been suspended by the Panthers after he was convicted of beating up his girlfriend. And the Cowboys brought him in, and Jerry Jones exalted him as one of the leaders in the locker room. And I remember distinctively, I'm sitting in the stands with my son. We were at a game, and Greg Hardy is introduced with some level of fanfare. And I sat there thinking to myself, do I really want my six-year-old to be looking up to this fucking guy, right? And so I had this moment, this come-to-Jesus moment for myself where I was thinking, is this the team for me and for my son? But in the end, what I personally came to is that, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm not necessarily a Jerry Jones fan. I'm definitely not a Greg Hardy fan, but I'm a fan of the franchise dating back to when I was a little kid. And so, you know, removing even Jerry Jones from the equation, I soldiered on, you know, and that was my personal experience with it.
Yeah, man. It's definitely the ugly underbelly, you know, of sports. Every sport has it. Every sport has their players, and it's reality, you know. And I think you handled it pretty well. You know, we had some situation over here with you know, of our players in the Cubs a couple of years back, and I was looking at it. I saw the news off season, And I thought to myself, there is no way I want to see this dude wearing a Cubs uniform, you know, come spring. And sure enough, the Cubs did get rid of him. They parted ways with him. And but I was the same type of situation where you're looking at this guy like, no, like I cannot have my kids look up to people like this that treat, you know, other people the same way. So
are you talking about Russell, Addison Russell?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. We're on the same page with all that. And so I think this is good. You know, we put some framework around this on what is and isn't acceptable in terms of the Two Guys, One Podcast review of sports fandom. Hopefully listeners out there will take this forward. And listen, if you got somebody in your inner circle that's pulling for three or four teams, pull them aside. Say, listen, you need to listen to this episode of Two Guys, One Podcast before it's too late. You know, we're still going to keep you in the fandom circle for the time being, but you're on notice. This is not acceptable going forward. So,
yeah, pull them aside or put them on blast in front of 12 other dudes. Either way, it's totally fine.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like this is a public service announcement that we're doing. You know, we're doing some good in the world here today. In the charitable spirit of the holidays, a little PSA from Two Guys, One Podcast. And let's turn the page and talk about Monday Night Football.
Bum, bum, bum,
bum. The
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Going into last week, Ronnie, I had a commanding 7-4 lead, and you instituted a new strategy for making your pick, which why don't you let the audience know how that bared out for you last week?
Well, as you know, I told you I've done my due diligence when it comes to these picks with you. You know, I look what the experts say, and I look really deep at these teams, at these lineups, at these IR lists, everything, man. And nothing was working for me. I was on a big slump. So I decided to put it into the hands of luck, and I decided that what I would do, and if it's going to keep working, I will keep doing it, is I am going to open a beer live on the air.
Nice. I hear it. I hear the pop. What do we got today? Open a beer.
Well, check this out. In keeping with the Christmas spirit, this is for you because you can see it. This is from
Fistmas. Yeah, it's a
Fistmas. It's Fistmas. It's from Revolution Brewery. They are not a sponsor yet, but you know.
God, that's a hearty beer to chug, man.
You know what? These are these are the times that we're in right now. You know,
man,
so
you're not going with any Pabst Blue Ribbon or Coors Light. You're going with a hearty beer.
Well, I'm not going to lie. It's the only thing left in the fridge. People don't really grab these. When people are on their benders here, they're grabbing the light stuff. So anyway, I got one. So what we're going to do again, I've opened the beer. I'm going to chug the beer. Again, I'm going to smash the can, giving us a head side with the top, a tail side with the bottom. I then will proceed to flip the can in the air. While it's midair, I'm going to call heads or tails. And today, we forgot what we were talking about here. So we got the Ravens visiting Cleveland. The Ravens, it should be a pretty good game. It's only a 3-point difference. The Ravens are 3-point favorites. Okay. Over under is 46. So I'm going to make my pick as it's in the air. Baltimore will be heads, Cleveland will be tails.
I'm going to ask
what do you think about this game? Well, you go ahead and think. I want to chug this thing right now. Get this out of the way.
Before you do, though, I want to know, are you going to smash the can on your head?
No. I don't want to ruin the Santa hat I got on.
Understood. Okay. Well, that would be better, but go ahead.
I'm going to chug it. I'm going to smash it, flip it, call it, hopefully win it. Oh, here we go.
Let's get it up.
Cheers.
Here he goes. All right. Ron is tilting the beer. He's tilting it back. Oh, he's got a look of a look of pain on his face as he's taking it down, but he's not pausing, not even a single breath. There it goes. Oh my God. It's dribbling down his chest. Oh my God. He did it. He crushed the entire thing. That was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. I think that was like a 6-second start to finish chug time. How you feeling there, bud?
God, thank God it's afternoon right now.
on
a Monday.
Watering. That's fucking awesome.
Oh my God. You're right. Kids, don't do that. That's not one that you want to chug. All right, here we go. So I'm close to the right outside my patio. I'm gonna see if I can get the sound of the can smashing for you.
Oh, that was
you got that?
That was nice. Yeah, that was with the.
All right, so here we go. Right. I have a pretty good heads looking side and a tails looking side. The can is very, very flat. I'm gonna show it to you really quickly.
Yes.
You got that? All right.
I got it.
Here we go. It's going in the air. I'm gonna call in the air. Here we go. Tails. It is tails. And I did say I pull for the Cleveland Browns plus 3 tonight. That's my pick.
Wow. True science at its finest. You know, you're 1-for-1 with this new strategy. And listen, if nothing else, I get to enjoy watching you crush a beer every week. And that's quite entertaining for me personally. I'm going to go on the other side to keep it interesting. I'm taking the Ravens of Baltimore.
Okay.
The spirit of Ray Lewis will rise up tonight and, you know, help soldier that team forward for a victory at Brown Stadium tonight.
Well, this is just what we need to rope this thing back around and to bring our scores a little bit closer. Because if I win and if you lose to Christmas week.
Yeah, it'd be 7-6 going into Christmas week. And before we drop off here too, let's go through the other numbers because I have a late breaking update for you. Over to you, Brian.
Okay.
That's me. Ron, my burrito count at last tally was at 34.
It's a high count. It's a very high count as we round the year out. It's 34 is a lot for anyone in one calendar year.
Well, let me just say this. I was in Houston, Texas at the back end of the week and weekend. You can't be in Houston without partaking in some good old-fashioned Tex-Mex. I added, believe it or not, 3 burritos to my total.
Oh, my goodness. 3 burritos.
I'm at 37, which puts me on pace to eclipse 50 by year's end. I've got to really press hard for the last 16 days of the year. But I'm feeling really confident that I'm going to eclipse that 50 burrito mark by year's end.
Well, you're averaging just over 3 per month. So for you to say you're going to throw another 13 down in the next 2 weeks, that's a pretty elevated burrito. Now, are you actually just going to go for it, or are you going to let it happen organically?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when you're in that last quarter pole, the horse kind of picks up some speed, right? I mean, I think I see the target. I think I'm going to deliberately try to hit the number, man. Let's go. I can do it. Let's go.
Okay. And just so you know, so our voting does close at midnight on January 1st, or I should say December 31st, okay? We're not going to keep counting for a few weeks after.
Right.
Maybe
okay.
a few late burrito wrappers show up in your pocket. Oh, we forgot to count this one. No, it's over at 12:31, 11:59.59. That's it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this though, because we are going to be probably under the wire here. If I start eating a burrito before midnight, does that count?
I think you're gonna have to put a fraction of the burrito at that point.
Like maybe
either
half?
A 0.25 or a half. Yeah, I'll give you a half.
All right.
Because I think the point. I mean, I know you paid for it. You ordered it. You drove home. You unwrapped it. You're starting it. But I think I want to see the whole thing down. Now, the only thing, too, if you're eating burritos at midnight on New Year's Eve, either you started way too early, or I don't know, man.
I have a feeling that that's not the way that Amanda's envisioning we're going to ring in the new year, is me pounding a burrito at midnight, but I wanted to know technically what my limitations are, you know?
Yeah, I think you have to go with the fractional burrito count at that point.
Good stuff, man. Well, listen, tune in tonight. I'll be doing the same. I'm glad we established some forward-looking policies on what is and isn't acceptable for fandom out there. And I'll catch you on the flip side, brother.
Yeah, shout out to Thad. Good looking out, brother.
Yeah,
Thad. Keep hitting those slopes.
Good stuff, man. See you next time, guys.
See ya.
Peace.
It's 2 guys, 1 podcast.